This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Joining us this morning on Sports Saturday is Tim Mize. And Tim, postseason baseball well underway and high school football about to wrap its season up in a couple weeks.
Absolutely. Only two regular season weeks left for the high school football season. Hard to believe we've already played seven games this year. And last night we had three games on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. Pena shut out Litchfield 42-0. Carthenville beat Hillsboro 35-12. And then in the Prairie State Conference, it was Mount Olive surviving Nokomis 36-26 in our broadcast features last night. Other scores in the South Central Conference saw Gillespie pick up their second win of the year. They beat Roxana 20-8. Greenville now 4-3. They hammered Staunton 56-7. And Vandalia put up 62 points on the Piasaw Birds as they won it 62-12 over Southwestern. So through 7 weeks, Pena 7-0, Carthenville and Vandalia each 6-1, and the Toppers are 5-2. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Carthenville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday. And Chad, good morning, sir. How you doing?
Great. And you guys this morning?
We're doing very, very well. And last night, the fall chill was in the air. And I know for a high school football coach, that means one thing. The playoffs are getting close.
Yeah, you know, I just heard you this morning. You know, it's very hard to believe we've got 7 weeks under our belt already. It seems like it was just 100 degrees and we were about heat indexes. But so, you know, that time's coming near, and we got a big win last night.
You absolutely did, and you forced four turnovers last night, Chad, and it seemed to me like you guys were making a conscious effort to strip that football out.
You know, we talked in the preseason, defense was going to be a huge emphasis for us this year, and that's something we coach up throughout the week, and, you know, it's starting to pay off here as the season goes on. You know, I thought Ryan Kleeman, came up with a huge one to swing the momentum there, and then Kyle Dixon had another one. So, you know, I thought our defense played very well.
And Ryan Kleeman, I mean, he has had a massive defensive season for you guys.
Yeah, you know, having missed two seasons with a two knee injuries, and to come back the way he did is, you know, just something that's great that for him personally and for our team. And, you know, he's put in the work in the offseason, and he's just done a phenomenal job for us.
As a coach, that has to warm your heart when you see a kid battle through injuries, come back, and have that type of success.
Yeah, especially when, you know, there's always that lurking ever feeling that he could go down again. And, you know, we spent 3 weeks doing that. I think we finally put that to bed, so to speak. But, you know, it is because he's worked hard and been very supportive over the last 2 years, and I'm glad to see him be successful.
A lot of big plays in that game last night. Obviously, Jacob Dixon, he did his thing. But I thought in a lot of ways that 97-yard drive that you guys had really set the tone. Two huge pass plays from Walton to Brady Jamison. Talk about that.
Well, we knew Hillsboro's, you know, obviously they were ranked of a little bit above us in our points allowed. So we knew we were going to have to mix it up last night. They had a great punt, pinned us on the three. That sort of thing. So we gambled a little bit and threw the ball. We ran the first one and threw it. Brady had the first catch, was just an amazing catch in traffic. And then, you know, we kept sticking it out there. And Walton put the ball on the money last night to help give that 1-2 punch with Dixon. And, you know, that was very hard for them to come back since we drive the field.
You know, Chad, in high school football, it seems to me it's rare to have a receiver who can go up and catch the ball in traffic. Brady Jamison is great when the coverage is fantastic. He can go up and make the play.
Yeah, you know, you said it the best. You very rarely get a 6'3 frame that looks like that, and I'm not downing any kids. Normally 6'3 guys are pencil-looking guys that are either fast or whatever else, or you're a 6'3 lineman. So, you know, to be able to go out there and play in space is a unique thing to have anyway. And, you know, Brady does it well.
So you're 6-1 on the year. And, Chad, I don't know if you'll answer this truthfully or not, but okay. Does the Pena game keep you up at night now?
Oh, yeah. You know, there are several games that keep me up at night. Casey Westfield, double overtime.
Oh, yeah.
Marquette, my first year or second year here, we kicked off a 56 seconds. Kid ran about 80 yards for a touchdown, lost the conference title. You know, the games like Pena, I think, I'm a coach that subscribes to the theory that I'd rather be beat by 50 than by one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, not all coaches subscribe to that theory, but, you know, when you look back at those games, you always question what you could have done differently, what call you could have made, what personnel grouping you have on your field, that sort of thing. But, you know, that being said, in every case that I just mentioned, regardless if it was the end of the season or the middle of the season, in some way, shape, or form, it has made us better. So maybe the pain of loss has sparked our defense and our offense to play for four quarters, and we got to see that last night. And I was very proud of our unit for coming out and, you know, sustaining drives and not just being complacent with a winning, with the score being in our favor. So I thought that might have been the difference in the ball game last night.
And Chad, obviously the last 2 weeks, besides winning the two ball games, what do you want to see from your club here closing out the regular season, moving into the playoffs?
You know, I think fundamentals. I mean, I know that statement gets used around like it's ands and buts, but you know, we work very, very hard every week with just fundamentals. Are you in the right spot? Are you doing the right things? Those little things like that. And, you know, making sure that the focus is on that and not on looking past anybody, because, you know, I think that's a very scary thing to do. And momentum in football games is big. So I think those are the key things as you move to the postseason here. And obviously, the win last night, and if we can close it out, potentially would get us a home playoff game again. So that's another one. I think you have four or five in a row this coming up, if that would be the case.
Sounds good. Chad, great win last night. We always appreciate your time on Saturday mornings, and best of luck next week.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carletonville Cavaliers, and the Cavies head to Piesaw for week 8 to take on Southwestern, and then week 9 they will be home to take on the Litchfield Purple Panthers. But Carletonville, impressive performance last night.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. You know, you have the run of success that they've had, and, you know, coming into the year, high expectations, and be able to maintain that. Had the downer against Pena, if you want to call it that, but still played well against a Pena team that, outside of that game, is kind of running away with the conference.
Yeah, I mean, that was and will be the game of the year in the South Central Conference, mm-hmm. as that was a 2-point win for Pena that night. But as you look at Carletonville, they're such a complete team. They've got the running game, obviously, with Dixon. Strong line play, both offensively and defensively. Adam Walton, very good with the pass, also with his legs. They've got Brady Jamison on the outside. Their defense is obviously sensational. So there's a lot of positive things for this Carletonville football team.
Yeah, the thing with Walton is he can be better than he shows, because you look at his numbers and it's quiet, like week in and week out, because he doesn't have to take over the game, but he can. I mean, he's that good. He's that talented to where if they need him, you know, to have a major effect, not to say that he's not having a major effect, but if they need him to step up and play a bigger role, he absolutely can. Same can be said for Hillsborough quarterback Mitchell Reynolds. I mean, he's the same way. He's had kind of a quiet year by his standards, but because he hasn't had to. You know, Gunnar Lintz is having a phenomenal year for the Toppers. Christian Hernandez has had a good year. Dylan Civitates had a good year for Hillsborough. Mitchell Reynolds doesn't have to. You know, some guys in this conference, some teams in this conference have these quarterbacks who are having, you know, on the scoreboard, I guess, or on, you know, in the box score, quiet years because they don't have to. But by all means, any game they could step up and play a major role.
And you hear it all the time about football. It's the ultimate team game. Mm-hmm. You have to have teammates step up and make plays. And talking about Adam Walton, he seems to be that type of guy. When a play needs to be made, he will step mm-hmm. up and make that play.
Comeback player, too, because he really didn't get to play at all last year. Because I think probably played two or three games all of last season because of that collarbone injury. So
yeah, two separate incidents with that.
Yeah, so he's finally able to play a full season and has really done a nice job.
It's always good to see kids be able to bounce back from injury and have success on the field, and Carletonville is certainly benefiting from that so far this year. So with the 35-12 win, Carletonville improves to 6-1 on the year. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we'll catch up with Hillsborough head coach Aaron Duff, North Mac head coach Shane Owsley, also on the way. A big win for the Panthers last night as they were taking on state-ranked Athens. Of course, North Mac also state-ranked as well. The Panthers now 7-0 after their 42-35 win. We'll be catching up with Coach Owsley as Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages.
9:15 at your WSMI radar, not radar weather. We'll have that again at 9:45. Your WSMI Sports Saturday studios. I guess we could talk a little bit about weather.
You read the weather, didn't you?
I did read the weather.
It's beautiful outside.
It is beautiful. I like this weather.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like Chad said a few moments ago. It just seems not that long ago it was 100 degrees and we were worried about heat index values.
Right. I prefer this kind of weather, you know, the cool. I prefer it on the cooler side. Because I can take layers, or I can add layers if it's cold. Like, you know, I can't take my skin off if it's too hot.
You can't?
I don't think so.
I can.
Never tried, so.
Oh, you're missing out. It's exhilarating.
Anatomically, is that possible?
Oh, yeah, it's possible.
Okay. Well,
it's science, David.
Science.
Science.
Magnets.
Yes. It's all about the magnets. So we ran down the South Central scores previously. Let's get into the Sangamo Conference last night. We mentioned North Mac. The game of the night, they beat Athens 42-35. So the Panthers sitting at 7-0 all alone atop the Sangamo Conference. Auburn picked up their fourth win of the year. They hammered Porta 49-8. Williamsville, they were all over Pittsfield 62-8 as the Saukies are getting a rude welcome to the Sangamo Conference. New Berlin 10-9 over Plains. And Marrero Forsyth, they hammered Riverton last night, 56-6. In the Prairie State Conference, Mount Olive picked up their third win on the year over Nokomis, 36-26. Pawnee, oh my, 76 points they put up last night at Bunker Hill. They beat the Minutemen, 76-31. Holy smokes. In the WIVC South last night, Greenfield Northwestern over West Central, 44-6. Carrollton beat Calhoun, 34-6. And Pleasant Hill beat North Green, 22-0. Happy to be joined on the phone now by the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, Aaron Duff. And Duffy, thank you for a few moments of your time this morning. And I guess if you fumble the football four times, no matter who or where you're playing, it's going to be hard to win.
Yeah, you know, I thought our guys actually played fairly well. We played hard. We were moving the ball several times, but you can't turn the ball over against a good football team.
How frustrating is it from a coaching perspective? Like you said, you guys played well, the effort was there, but shooting yourself in the foot like that just makes it hard.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It really is, you know, but it happens. You got to deal with it. You got to keep fighting. You got to come back, and our kids never quit. I think we're a physical football team. I told our guys last night we're a good football team. We've lost two games in a row, but we're still a good football team, and we're going to keep getting better and keep working.
You've still got your goals in front of you despite these last 2 weeks, and from your guys' perspective, these have been a brutal couple of weeks here.
Yeah, you know, we had our chances last week, very close football game, and then this week, you know, we went in the game to win last night to win that game, and I'm pretty proud of our kids. They keep giving us effort, and we're just going to stay positive, and we're going to get back on it this week and get going.
Early in that game, Duffy, you guys pinned Carlinville on their own 3-yard line, and that was a momentum type of opportunity, and it turns out that Carlinville kind of seized the momentum with that big drive.
Yeah, they tried to come out there and run on us, and we shut them down there a couple plays, and they had a big pass that was, we were actually very well covered. Kid made a great catch, you know, and then they made the long drive. Really close game there in the beginning, so I don't remember what was going on, but I think we came right back and had a nice long run by Mitchell Reynolds there and made a 14-6, so we were right back in it.
Yeah, that was a crazy sequence. They go 97 yards, then you guys come down and score in one play, and then they answered right back. So it was a strange game in that sense, but when you watch the film, is it as simple as you can't turn the ball over four times?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we made some other little mistakes here and there, but I really liked what we were doing. We moved the ball on every drive there that we had turned it over. I had some nice plays going defensively. I thought we did a really good job there in the beginning, a couple big plays here and there, but, you know, they're a good football team. You cannot turn the ball over four times against anyone, but especially a football team like theirs.
And they were really coming with the strips. Was it a ball security issue for your ball handlers? Were they not securing the ball like they needed to?
There was one I could tell on film. The kid did a good job of stripping. The others, you can't really see on film, and, you know, it's sort of hard to see down at field level. Mm-hmm. So, that's something that we will work on and do a few drills this week about ball security. But, it's a little bit of both, I think, at times. Guys working hard trying to get extra yards and things like that, and ball came out.
Well, I guess if you're coming off back-to-back losses, it's kind of nice to have your rivals from Litchfield lined up for the next game.
Yeah, there's always a close rivalry between our towns.
It's, you know, I don't care what records are. We talked last night. We're going to work extra hard this week to, clean a lot of things up. And, you don't take anyone for granted. We're going to come out and we're going to work hard. We're going to try to get win number six.
And they beat you guys last year. So there's a little motivation too.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Yeah. You know, a game last year that I think our kids went in thinking, you know, that they might have a really good chance to win. And, they did end up beating us last year, so we're going to come out and just really work hard and stay really positive this week.
Sounds good. Duffy, we always appreciate your times on Saturday morning. Thank you very much, and best of luck next week.
Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. Four fumbles last night for Hillsboro. That really was their undoing.
That'll do in just about any team.
It will.
You know, you can't turn the ball over that many times and have success unless you're Gillespie of a few years ago in the playoffs, because I did the Gillespie-Carmi-White County game in which I think they had like five or six turnovers, still won the game, but they were really good.
Yeah, there's always exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, that is not a good formula for success.
Right. Can't do that.
No. So in the WIVC North last night, it was Brown County over Beardstown 29-15. Camp Point Central beat Jacksonville Route 38-14, and Minden Unity beat Triopia 48-20. One game in the Prairie State Conference today, it is Marquette. They are on the road at Metro East Lutheran. The Macoupin County Volleyball Tournament going on right now. Bunker Hill hosting the Macoupin County Volleyball Tournament this year. That is happening right now. And the Pena Shelbyville Tournament is also going on. The Nokomis Volleyball Squad participating in that. A few soccer, boys soccer postseason regional scores from yesterday in the Greenville Regional Quarterfinal. The Comets beat Roxana 5-1. In the Freeburg Regional, or it's at Lebanon, but it was played at Freeburg, Lebanon beat Valmire 2-1. In the Waynesville Regional, Mount Pulaski, they beat Forsyth 2-1. Back to football we go, and last night in Verdon, the North Mac Panthers kept on rolling. It was not easy, 42-35 over Athens, and Shane Owsley, the Panthers head coach, joining us on the phone right now. Shane, thanks for a few minutes. How are you doing today?
Very good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing excellent, and anytime you get a pair of state-ranked teams matching up this late in the year, you know it's going to be an outstanding football game, and it doesn't sound like last night disappointed at all.
No, it was a good game, and then again, we've got two quality opponents there going together there with us and Athens, who has things going, you know, really well this year. So they came out and they played really well, and as a coach, you love to see good opponents towards the end of the year to prepare yourself for playoffs.
And Shane, obviously you guys are 7-0. This has been a year where you haven't necessarily blown people out in the Sangamo Conference. That doesn't really happen because the talent is so good, but you guys continue to find ways to win week in and week out, and from a coaching perspective, that has to make you real proud.
It does. I think we're probably the quietest 7-0 team that's in the state. You know, regardless of us coming out on top each week, we continue to make it close and make it interesting, which is making me age rather quickly. But, you know, it is a very strong conference, and a quality opponent is going to be awaiting for you each week. So just the fact that we've been able to get things done, whether they're pretty or not, it has been, you know, successful so far, and hopefully we can keep things rolling.
Yeah, there are no style points. You don't get any more credit for the victory if you win by 50 or win by 2. Does not matter. And I would assume that close games, they obviously will serve you a lot better come week 10.
I hope so. I mean, it's a situation where, you know, again, as a coach, it would be nice to see when you get some of those lesser opponents that you can kind of get on top and stay on top and kind of find that killer instinct. And that was one thing I kind of talked about with the kids a little bit last night out of all the good things that have taken place so far. That's one thing that we do need to work on. You know, last night we were up by 14 points at one point, and I thought we had a possibility or a chance to get on top even bigger if we kind of put our foot on the accelerator a little bit. I think we kind of went into coast or relaxed mode a little bit, and good teams are going to get back on top of you when you do that, and that's exactly what Athens did. And unfortunately for us, we were able to come out on top at the end, but when we get into those, you know, playoff games and later on, it's not going to be a situation where we're going to be able to turn those things on and off. We're going to have to be on the accelerator the entire time if we want the result to come out the way that we want it to.
What was going through your mind? Because like you said, you had a 14-point lead with, had to be less than 2 minutes in the game, and Athens marches down the field and scores with not that much time left. What was going through your mind at that point?
Oh, just a here we go again kind of thing, you know. looked like we had finally scored kind of the backbreaker there towards the end of the fourth. And they have a very good receiver who I think, if I was looking at stats, I think they threw for about 250 to 290 yards, and every one of them went to one receiver. And, you know, every week we play somebody in the Sangamo, somebody's got a playmaker, and they took advantage of that. You know, it was a simple screen play, but when you have athletes like they do, they can take them to the house pretty quickly, and they did. And, you know, it came down to an onside kick again because, again, for some reason we continue to make things interesting, and we were able to get our hands team out there. We were able to recover the ball, and luckily we got to use that victory formation one more time.
You guys have turned into the cardiac cats in some ways, destroying your fans here.
Yeah, and their coach. That's what I keep telling the kids. I don't think I'm an old man, but I'm getting there quickly with the way we've been performing. But as I told Channel 1450 and some of the other guys last night, as long as we're coming out with the W's, I guess I'll go ahead and take it.
You a superstitious guy, Shane?
I am. That was something that I got jumped on last night a little bit. I was trolling around the sidelines in my shorts, and somebody asked me if I recognized the weather, and I told them the last time I wore pants was in Tolono, which was the last game we lost.
Uh-oh.
So until something bad happens, it will be shorts for the rest of the year. So hopefully we get some nice weather throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, so you're not looking for any type of a chilly day come the postseason because you're keeping the shorts.
I'm keeping the shorts until something bad happens. So rain, sleet, or snow, they will be on.
Shane Housley, we always appreciate your time on Saturday morning, sir. Congratulations on a great win last night, and best of luck next week.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, Shane Housley, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers. And I tell you what, David, those high school football coaches, they love their shorts.
They do, and I hope he's true to his word.
Oh, he'll
and
be true to his
yeah.
word.
Does it count? I should have asked him this. Does it count if he's wearing the pants under the shorts? Can he do that?
No, no.
Does it count?
No, this is America, David.
Okay.
Either you're wearing shorts or you're not.
No in-between decision?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, hopefully they're getting far enough into the postseason to where it's a problem. He's got to make a decision.
I think he's going to have to make a decision.
Yeah. Pretty good. They're pretty good. Like Carlinville, they're not bad.
Yeah, not bad. It works.
Yes.
It works. 7-0 on the year. They've got Riverton next week, and then they've got week 9 to close out the year at Maroa Forsyth.
Yeah, I tell you what, for Moreau, they've got a tough final two games of the season, because I believe they've got Auburn next week. I think that's their week 8 schedule is Moreau. They close out with Auburn and then North Mac. So they are still, I think they only have one loss as well, don't they? So
yeah, the Williamsville loss.
Yeah, so they're also still fighting for the conference title. So big final 2 weeks of the season for Moreau. Obviously, North Mac has gone through this gauntlet so far. You don't want to underestimate or overestimate any team. Riverton should be a lighter game for them.
In theory.
And next week, of course, there's always the chance of overlooking a team. Right. So we'll see. We'll see when it comes around.
North Mac, they've got everything in their control here. They are 7-0, the only undefeated team in the Sangamo Conference. You've got Maroa and Williamsville both sitting at 6-1. And with the loss last night, Athens drops back to 5-2. That's a great ball game, though. A fantastic win for North Mac last night over Athens. We need to get to a break. We'll come back with more on Sports Saturday following these messages.
9:32 here on this Sports Saturday morning. Now back to Sports Saturday. And Tim, as we mentioned, it's really hard to believe there's only 2 weeks left in the season.
Goes so fast.
It does. It really does.
And, you know, people probably get tired of hearing us say, boy, the high school football season goes fast. But it does.
I'm sure some people probably don't think it lasts long enough.
You know, some states play more games.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Didn't know that. How many does Missouri play? Are they 9 games as well, or are they longer?
They might be a skosh longer.
Okay. Because I thought their championship was around the same time as Illinois. Of course, their playoffs might not be as long either.
Well, I think it was Indiana I saw the other day. They only play like 7 regular season games. And then every team in the state is in the playoffs, and they got like these massive different like sections and all that. But
everybody gets in. That's interesting.
It is. Once again, though, I love the IHSA, the way that they handle their business and the way that they do the football. To me, it's nothing's perfect, but this is awfully close.
Yeah.
You know, 9 regular season games is more than enough to figure out who the best teams are. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no really doubt after 9 games of who deserves to be in, who doesn't deserve to be in. And then, you know, if you make it all the way to the state championship game, you wind up with 14 games.
Right. I've heard, I don't know if this is true, we'll have to have someone confirm it. Probably Darren Deneve could confirm it because he was probably in on the meeting. But I've heard the South Central might be rotating their schedule. You know how the last few years they've been, it's the same teams every week. They might be rotating them.
Speaking of Darren Deneve, he told me last night that next year, Hillsboro-Carlinville
is opening week.
Week one.
Okay, so they are. Then it's confirmed. They are rotating the schedule, at least for next year.
I like it.
I do, too. That's a heck of a season opener.
It is.
Good for us, too.
Very good for us.
Yeah.
Long way to go before next season, though.
Right. I'm sure some other coaches are focused on what's going on next week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll have Fighting Illini football coming up for you this afternoon. They are, of course, in Big Ten play. They will host Purdue this afternoon. We'll have live coverage at 1:30 on WAOX 105.3 The Oxen. Boy, last week, Illinois messed around and almost upset Nebraska in Lincoln. That would have been a heck of a win for Lovie Smith. Obviously, if they could have got it done, they did not. They showed themselves well, though, and it'll be interesting to see if they can continue to build on this year moving into the Big Ten, because they have really struggled in Big Ten play for a long number of years now. So Lovie Smith's first Big Ten game, they almost upset Nebraska. Now we'll see if they can come back home against the Purdue team that has been down for a number of years. But when you're talking about Illinois football, it's hard to really say, well, the opponent has been down, because Illinois' program has been down for a long, long time. So an opportunity for Illinois today to make a statement, get a Big Ten win on your home field, and that could go a long way for enthusiasm and those types of things. You want the stadium packed, and if they can't get a couple of conference wins, it's going to be hard to keep that enthusiasm up for the Fighting Illini faithful here in 2016. But hopefully people will just remain patient with Lovie Smith. And sometimes patience and sports fans don't go hand in hand. But if there was actually anybody out there who thought that Lovie Smith was going to come in, wave like this magic wand, and poof, Illinois all of a sudden is great. All of a sudden they just turned in to Ohio State or Michigan overnight. Not going to happen. It's not a realistic proposition to expect something like that to happen so quickly. Over time, hopefully, though, Lovie Smith will be able to get the program rolling in the right direction. This is WSMI Sports Saturday, and we're happy to be joined on the phone right now by the head coach of the Greenville Comets, Todd Hutchison. Good morning, Hutch. How are you?
Good, guys. Good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're doing very well. Good to talk to you. We haven't talked to you for a few weeks, and you've had a lot happen since the last time we talked to you. And I guess let's start first with the unfortunate loss of Brady Simpson.
Yeah, you know, it is. We had a lot happen, and it is unfortunate. It's part of the game, but it's a cruel part of the game that every team deals with. You know, we lost our number two receiver week two with an MCL, and he actually is on the way back, so that's good. But and then we lost our starting nose and another defensive back receiver, the thing everybody goes through, you know, and then we lost Brady at the end of week four. So, you know, it's just been one of those deals that you just got to fight through some stuff. Our numbers were down anyway, but our kids have done a great job of just rallying around it. We've got outstanding senior leadership that's kind of held things together, and we're finding ways to win, and hopefully we'll get, you know, there's a chance we get Brady back, and like I said, we got Hunter back last night a little bit. And, you know, we're just going to try to keep moving forward and plugging guys in, trying to find ways to win.
And, Hutch, I always hope that seniors especially can come back in their senior season, because this is it. There is no redshirt year.
No, there isn't, you know, and it's, like I said, it's tough, and every team deals with it. And you know, I lost half of my senior year, just like a lot of people sometimes do, you know, but I wouldn't trade anything for my football experience, and I know those guys wouldn't either. And you do just hope, especially the seniors, that they get to come back. And we're hoping for Brady's sake that he gets to do the same and finish his career out with us.
Well, Hutch, you got a nice win last night at Staunton, 56-7. It's your fourth win on the year. So 2 weeks to go, you got to win out to assure yourself that playoff spot.
Yeah, we're just going 1 week at a time. You know, we knew what we had this year. We knew we had a group of seniors that really care and that fight really hard. And then we got a bunch of young guys who are still learning how to play the game. So it's a good mix of just kids that love being out there and playing football. And we're going to just, you know, look at last night's film, obviously, quite a bit and try to learn and get better and then move on to our next opponent and just go 1 week at a time.
And, Hutch, the times I've seen you this year, I've come away very impressed with your defense. One of the better defensive units you guys have had for a while.
Well, it is. We made some changes, you know, when we needed to. We put a lot of our eggs in the offensive basket there for a while and found ways to get a really long way, you know. Mm-hmm. And our defensive side, you know, our kids played their tails off too, but we know what we had there as far as facing 14 to 16 drives and a lot of the points that were scored on us in those years were scored late. So things were kind of cosmetic. We knew that, but, we did need to shore some things up. That's for sure. And we've made some changes. We've got a defensive type group of kids right now that really get after it and play hard and hit. And it has been a fun group to watch, and it's been a fun defense to implement and put in for these guys.
As you sit here now heading in to week eight with 7 weeks in the books, how would you assess your season so far?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, again, we try to just keep our eye on the day and what we can do each day to get better and make ourselves a better football team and better people. But I think if you look at it, you know, Payne and Carlinville are at the top along with Hillsborough and Van, four very solid programs. And then the teams underneath that, us included, are all very close and tight. This is always a good conference. And, it's always a competitive conference and you gotta go out each week and try to find a way because there are no gimmies in this schedule. So, I think our kids, if you want to assess it, I think our kids have played their tails off and I'd go to battle with them every day. And I think we're just going to keep trying to do the same thing, you know, just come to work each day and try to find a way to beat that next opponent.
And you guys are 4-3, but you mentioned the Carlinville game and the Hillsborough game. Those were both great ball games. They could have gone either way.
Well, they could have. You know, I felt like the Friday night part of Carlinville, we were playing pretty well, and then it was just tough to get up twice against a really good team in Carlinville. And our kids did, but it was just, you know, they're tough, and we couldn't do a whole lot offensively. And did a decent job, I thought, defensively, and had a chance. The Hillsborough game, I thought, could have went either way. And even Payne, I thought we played very tough. They're another really good squad, and I thought we played them tough and did what we could. Again, we just didn't get a whole lot going offensively. But, you know, we've made some changes there. We're running the ball a little bit more and very effectively. That's going to obviously open up our passing game more. And I think we're going to be more, if we get to that playoff time, we're going to be more diversified in that regard.
And Hutch, it's been a strange year with the weather. The Carlinville and Greenville games both affected with Mother Nature. And as a football coach, there's enough other stuff that's going on. You don't need the weather getting in the way.
Boy, isn't that the truth? There is enough other stuff going on, just chasing a lot of things as far as eligibility and grades and injuries and just all kinds of stuff. You guys know the deal there. But the weather has been kind of weird. And not only has affected games, you know, we had the Hillsborough game changed and the Carlinville game changed and a couple other games where there was a lot of rain. And, the other thing that affects is practice time and, what you can do on the practice field. And again, our kids through it all have just handled all the adversity that's come their way. And, they just look to go to work and try to find a way at the end of each day.
Well, you guys got Gillespie coming to town next week. And Hutch, you're a coach through and through. So when you see a man like Don DeBrino in his final year, what do you think?
Well, utmost respect for, you know, I've only done it for 26 years, but we know what it takes. And to do it as well as Coach has done for as long as he's done it, you know, it's just a tremendous amount of all the respect in the world you can have for a person because, there's a lot that goes into just everything as far as football goes. You don't just show up on Friday nights and coach. You know, you got 7 days a week. Almost now for the entire year throughout the summer and the season. So, you know, it takes a tremendous amount of a whole lot of things, and we have a lot of respect for what Coach DeBrino's done throughout his entire career.
Can you imagine doing this for 26 more years, Hutch?
Well, again, I'm one day at a time. I signed a one-day contract, and that's not a guaranteed contract. But, we'll see what happens. We love coaching over here, and we love working with our kids. But to do it for as long as Coach DeBrino does, that takes a really special person.
Todd Hutchison, the head coach of the Greenville Comets, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. We always appreciate it, sir, and best of luck down the stretch.
Well, guys, I appreciate your support and what you do for our programs around here and the coverage, and thanks for everything you do.
All right, thank you as well, Hutch. Todd Hutchison, class act from the Greenville Comets, and, of course, Hutch, the baseball coach as well. He does a lot for the Greenville athletic program. We need to get to a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We will come back with more following these messages.
Tim, it's nice to have the baseball postseason here, even if the Cardinals aren't in it.
It absolutely is, and we'll get into that in just a moment. I do want to announce this. Boys soccer today, regional quarterfinal, the Lincolnwood Regional at Macon Meridian. It'll be Litchfield taking on Meridian. That's an 11 o'clock kick today. And then in the Carlinville Regional, the quarterfinal game will be played at Gillespie, as Gillespie will take on Staunton, also an 11 o'clock game. So postseason getting in full swing for some of the high school sporting events. The football postseason just around the corner in a couple of short weeks. And you heard David mention that the baseball playoffs have arrived. And there's something about playoff baseball that is just epic. The game last night between the Cubs and the Giants, that's a vintage playoff baseball game. 1-0, the Cubs win it on a Javier Baez home run in the bottom of the eighth inning. Chapman comes in and closes the door after that, albeit with some assistance from the first base umpire. But
you're going to have that.
It
happens.
It does. But I think the biggest surprise so far in the baseball playoffs is in the American League. You've got Cleveland up 2-0 on Boston. You've got Toronto up 2-0 on the Rangers.
Yeah, and the Rangers series hasn't even been that close.
They've gotten pounded.
It's completely one-sided. The pitching for the Rangers, which is pretty good. Cole Hamels and Yu Darvish, a pretty good one, too. They've gotten rocked, and obviously they both pitch in hitters' ballparks. But, man, I mean,
such emotion in this series, too. Obviously, they played in the playoffs last year, the Bautista bat flip. Everyone, I think, is aware of that by this point. And then, of course, punches Bautista in the face when they played for the last time in the regular year. And now, it's weird how sports work. They wind up meeting in the playoffs again. And it just seems like Toronto probably had more of an edge to them. The person that gets punched in the face, and in this case, literally, is going to have, I think, a little more in the tank for the rematch. And I think that is part of what has happened here. Toronto, they've decided, you know what? Your guy may have punched our guy in the face in May. We're going to step on your throat and end your year right now.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I heard Dave Duncan say earlier this week that the three most balanced teams in the entire postseason heading into the playoffs were the Cubs, the Red Sox, and the Blue Jays. So obviously the Blue Jays are sitting pretty well up 2-0. The Rangers haven't won a home playoff game in years. Remember, the Rangers were up 2-0 in that series against the Blue Jays last year, lost their two home games going back to Toronto, had the lead 3-1 at least, might have been 3-0. Then Elvis Andrus forgot how to play defense in the seventh inning, and it all fell apart. So
it's got to be rough being a Rangers fan.
I tell you. Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. I mean, there are some teams in this postseason with some droughts. I mean, the Indians haven't won since, what, 47 or 48?
Something like that.
Rangers have never won, and they've been here since, like, the 50s, I think. The Cubs obviously haven't won since 1908.
Oh, the Cubs haven't won since 1908? I wasn't aware of that.
I don't think they've won since 1908.
That's, like, underreported. I've never heard that before.
They haven't been to the World Series since 1945. Did you know that?
I did know that. And we had this conversation a few weeks ago. You think that if the Cubs make the World Series,
the curse is broken
and people will be happy.
I didn't say people would be happy. I said they should be satisfied.
They will not be satisfied.
Satisfied is the completely wrong word for it. I apologize. They should not be, you know,
upset.
Well, you should be upset anytime you lose the World Series, but you shouldn't be, you know, outraged that you lost the World Series. You got there, and the curse is broken. The curse happened in 45, and they haven't been to the World Series since. I'd have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure the curse was you'll never see the World Series ever again.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think that is true.
So all they have to do to break the curse is get to the World Series.
Like, fundamentally, I agree with your premise, but I disagree. Because getting to the World, no one ever talks about, boy, the Cubs haven't been to the World Series since 1945. It's always, they haven't won the World Series since 1908.
But they are just now, you know, entering the peak of their best rebuilding process that they've ever done. And they made the NLCS last year, got eliminated. This year, if they're going to get to the World Series, even if they don't win, if they get to the World Series, that's still a lot of momentum heading into next year. Now, I understand they got some decisions to make in the offseason with contracts, but still, I mean, you haven't made it to the World Series since 45. That's still tough to do.
Yeah, you know, if they were a little engine that could maybe I could get down with that, but they're not.
I know.
Big money, big power. They won 103 games. So, and, also, they, and they've been the best team in baseball. Even though the Giants had the best record in the first half, anyone who's following baseball has basically acknowledged that the Cubs are head and shoulders above the rest of the clubs. It's been their year. Even the offseason, with the signing of Hayward, the signing of Lackey, it's the signing of Zobrist. It's been all about the Cubs. Cubs 24-7, and eventually it'll be 365 once we get to the end of the calendar year. But if they do not win the World Series, it will be a failure of a season.
I'm sure a lot of the coaches and players will think that, but
The fans will think that, man.
Yeah.
I think the fans will think that more than the players and coaches will. If they don't win the World Series, the players and coaches will say all the stuff you've said, and the fans will say hogwash.
The fans will, you know, being Cubs fans, they will think that, but they shouldn't. They shouldn't think that.
Of course they should.
You think so?
They gotta win the World Series, man. They've been living with this for a long time. All the people that are of the advanced age, who have never seen the Cubs win the World Series. That's what they want to see. They don't want to see the Cubs make it to the World Series and lose. They want to see the Cubs win the World Series.
I mean, I know this is apples and oranges, but look at the Royals a couple years ago. They make it to the World Series and lose in 7 games. And then the next year, they win it in 5. I mean, you make the World Series, you can use that to springboard your team in the following season and, you know, take it one step further. I mean,
that is true.
They can. It also is going to depend on how they lose if they get eliminated in this postseason. Like if they are just riding like all this momentum heading into the World Series and then something freak happens to where you could point to a curse, I guess, in the World Series. You know, like they're winning 8-0 in game, 4 of the World Series, leading the series 3-0, and they blow the game. And then
you came up with
series.
An apocalyptic scenario
I pretty much came up with the 0-4 Red Sox Yankees in the World Series. It'll depend on how the rest of the postseason unfolds.
I feel like this is a very big game for the Cubs tonight.
It absolutely is.
I think it's a lot like the Cards-Cubs series last year. Of course, the Cardinals were a 100-win club last year, and I felt that they needed to win both those home games to really have a chance in that series. Obviously, they lost game 2 and the series never got back to Busch. If the Giants can go in, they almost stole game 1. They ran the bases the Cardinals last night.
I thought the Giants needed to win last night's game because of the pitching matchups going forward in the rest of the series, because they had Cueto going in that game. Tonight they've got Samardzija, and I don't trust Samardzija in that ballpark. I don't care what kind of season he's had since the start of July. It's Samardzija at Wrigley Field.
Isn't it funny how it works out, though?
I don't know.
Ex-Cub Jeff Samardzija taking the hill tonight. If the Giants get this game and the series goes back to San Francisco tied at 1, Mad Bum is waiting for game 3.
Well, and remember, he's still got to execute. Mad Bum does.
Yeah, that's what he does.
It is, but he's still got to do. He's got to go out there and do it.
He's like the Southwestern girls basketball team. Until they don't do it, I'm just on the working assumption that they will do it.
He's had some bad postseason games in his career.
Not lately.
Not lately.
Nobody's perfect.
Not since 2012.
Oh, 2012.
Yeah, that was the last time.
A while ago.
Yeah. Well, just they've only been to the playoffs. What, this is their third time since.
I'm no fan of the Giants. I love Madison Bumgarner. This dude is awesome. Did you see him getting interviewed after the wild card game on ESPN? Buster only. Like, he asked him something about, like, what he wanted his legacy to be, and Mad Bum, he's got to that southern draw. Man, what's with all these tough questions?
Yeah. I did see the interview.
He's an everyman's man, Madison Bumgarner.
He can hit. When nobody was hitting Syndergaard in that game, you know, he hit a nice deep fly ball to left center field. It was an out, but still made contact.
He wanted to be in the home run derby this
summer. Absolutely. I wish he would have been. He would have been fun to watch.
Would have been entertaining.
It would have been.
So, very big game today for the Cubs at Wrigley Field. Can they go up 2-0 in the best of 5 as they will head out to San Francisco for game 3? That will be on Monday.
Yes.
And we could have several series over by Monday, potentially. Cleveland has a chance to close out Boston. Toronto will have a chance to close out Texas. We haven't mentioned the Dodgers and the Nationals, and poor Clayton Kershaw. Goodness. They got the win last night. He lasted only 5 innings.
They still won.
They won, but he lasted only 5 innings.
I know.
You want to be the Sandy Koufax of your generation, you can't go 5 innings.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? Because,
I don't know.
You know, honestly, in his postseason career, he hasn't necessarily pitched well, or not pitched poorly in his losses, give or take a couple.
He's had trouble with the Cardinals.
Right, but still in those games, he hasn't necessarily, with, like, give or take a couple, he hasn't pitched poorly. Like, one, he got beat by Michael Wacha when he gave up one run, mm-hmm. but the Dodgers didn't hit. You know, another one, he pitched well up until the sixth inning and was left in too long, way too long, and the Cardinals came back. So he's pitched pretty well in quite a few postseason games, but he's not been on the right side of the fence.
You're not wrong. He's pitched pretty well.
Yeah.
The problem is, in the regular season, he's the best pitcher that anyone's ever seen. So when you go from the best pitcher anyone's ever seen to just, he was all right, that's a problem. He's turning, you know, and I hate to say this, you know who he's turning into? Peyton Manning. I hate to say it, but when you continue to see a guy dominate like he does in the regular season, and then not be able to replicate it on the biggest stage, that comparison seems pretty apt.
What's more disappointing, Clayton through one game of this series, Clayton Kershaw or the Nationals team? Because come on, Washington, you've got home field in this series. And, you know, the last two times you've been in the playoffs, you haven't shown up. And if you go back to the last three times they've been in the playoffs, if you include that Cardinals series in 2012, you really haven't done anything.
I think you probably got to go with the Nationals.
Yeah. I have a feeling, I know it's just one game,
right.
But come on.
I have a feeling Dodgers fans, they still want Clayton Kershaw to have the ball in a
big
spot.
Well, and they are up 1-0 in the series.
I would imagine are nervous.
Right. And they are up 1-0. They still are up 1-0 in the series. The Dodgers are. The Nationals are not. And they just use their ace, the ace of their staff, who is not good. And yeah.
He just gives up too many home runs, Max Scherzer.
That's what he did all year. I mean, he was good, but he gave up a ton of home runs this year. And he's going to be paid like $45 million over the next couple of years each. $45 million next year, $45 million the next year.
Are you serious? That's his annual salary?
Well, because of the way they structured the contract. It may not start next year, but here in a couple of years, for like a 2 or 3 year stretch, he's getting paid $40 million per year. Because they structured it that way.
That works.
And they want to re-sign Bryce Harper.
How much money do they have?
Well, between Strasburg and Scherzer, they have about $80 million tied up.
Goodness gracious. And, of course, Strasburg hurt again. Not pitching in the playoffs again. But, hey, it's a good thing they shut him down in 2012 and protected him, by golly.
That's right.
Idiots. Well, they don't deserve to win just because of that.
Go to the White House again. Meet the president again.
Sports Saturday is done here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carbondale, and Greenville, the station you can count on. Fighting Illini football today, hosting Purdue live at 1:30 over on the Ox. For David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done. Have a great weekend, everybody.